hate it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Did it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Ball Don't Lie, man. This is episode 120 right here on the Barber's Chair Network. As usual, man, we are your hosts. My name is Scott. You can follow me on Twitter at BarbChairScott. You can follow me on Instagram there, too. My account is private right now. We'll explain on some of the sessions why my account is private. So you might not get approved on my Instagram. But, yeah, that's my Instagram and my Twitter. you can follow, got my co-host here, Dante. You can follow him on Twitter at @OctoberZoneTay. You can follow the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chair Net. You can follow, you can, if you're not a member of the Patreon, I don't know what you are waiting for. You need to go sign up right now, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. You can sign up for our $5 package. Our $5 package is just summer sessions, episodes, and or you can stop being a coward and get the $10 package, which is the Barber's Chair All Access. You can get all Barber's Chair content, such as summer sessions, OT. You can get cinema with the guys where we'll be breaking down shows that are not current and movies that are not current. Of course, right now we got The Sopranos season 1 and 2. They're reviewing this up right now. Check that out if you're a wrestling fan. Pierce, the homies Chris and Rob, you know, with Ruthless Aggression, they've got some shit on there. WWE Top 25, all that good shit, man. When you're listening to this, the new episode of Summer Sessions OT will be up right now. You will find out why. My Instagram is private and amongst other things. But we are here to talk hoops. We are here. I watched a lot of basketball this week. First of all, I don't know how I watch basketball without a 2-TV setup before this year. Really helps you. So you can watch all the games at one time. I hate just being a highlight watching nigga because, you know what I'm saying, you can't really, like, tell about the game looking at highlights. But I watched a lot of hoops this week. So, Dante, what's going on, G? What's been going on with you this week in NBA?
I'm solid, bro. Really, you know, just – you know I enjoy being right. So, you know, it's been some good things going on this week, seeing my boy Melo get in the starting lineup and really do his thing. I know we touched on that last week, but we actually got a full week of bro in the starting lineup. So I got some numbers for the folks about that. But other than that, I've been chilling. You know, the weather has been fucking crazy. I know it's been snowing back home, but down here it's been colder than normal. And now all of a sudden it's fucking 70 degrees. So right now I'm just trying to not get sick. But other than that, bro, I'm chilling. The Hawks are allowing fans, but I don't think I ain't ready to risk it yet. It's still too soon.
Yeah, you know me. The weather, it's been L.A. cold for us. But, you know, when I see the rest of the country.
I'm about to say, throw a hoodie on, nigga. You'll be all right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's pretty much what we're dealing with out here. I see Chicago look like they're living in Winterfell. But what are your thoughts on the Super Bowl before we get into basketball? Any thoughts on the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I enjoy being right. I told niggas exactly, minus the whole last possession thing. I told you, when you lose your left tackle and your right tackle, I don't give a fuck how great you are. It's going to be tough to win a game, G. So Pat was under duress all night. I think they said he scrambled the equivalent of like 4.2 football fields or some shit on all those throws. And even with all that, he was still hitting people in the face with the ball. But it was just too much. I mean, Brady, once he got up, he did what he had to do. He protected the ball. You know what I'm saying? They ran the ball well. They called a great game on both sides of the ball. Shout out to Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich. And I mean, at this point, the conversation is over. This is the best quarterback we ever seen and probably ever will see.
It was over before this game started. I think, if anything, this just, you know, kind of put him in the, I guess, the top five of all time, you know, sports goats, in my opinion. Like, the football thing ended after 28-3. After 28-3, I was not hearing niggas debates anymore.
And I will say this, because, like, again, Pat Mahomes got all the talent in the world. But this is showing us that everybody is just with this preemptive, oh, he's going to go to 10 Super Bowls.
It's tough.
We don't know that, bro. It's tough when you get in there, because now he's been in 2 Super Bowls. And truth be told,
he ain't played well in either one of them shits.
He's one shitty Jimmy Garoppolo second half away from being 1-2.
Like, not even a second half. He one shitty Jimmy Garoppolo wide open throw to Emmanuel Sanders from being 0-2.
Exactly. So, I mean, you got to really look at it like that. And the way the game of football goes, as his contract number increases, they're going to have players get priced out. And granted, I know you're going to have vets who take a cut to come play with Pat. But at the same time, the NFL has so much turnover. And it's even, like you said, like the Cowboys are the last team to go back-to-back.
No, it's the Patriots.
They went back-to-back?
03 and 04.
Oh, you're right. 03 and 04. But, like, okay, you got two teams to go back-to-back, G. Like,
and even then, that was shit 17 like that years happen. Ago.
Right, that was 17 years ago. So, like, it just doesn't happen often. So, for him to get back, just to get back twice.
Yeah,
wasn't an achievement. So I'm going to be interested to see what they do. He said he was going to study the tape from the way they played him and try to learn from it. So we're going to see.
Yeah, you know, we broke that down on 2 Minute Drill. First of all, I want to give a shout out to everybody who listened to 2 Minute Drill this season. This was 2 Minute Drill really is like the spinoff of Ball Don't Lie. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, first Ball Don't Lie, we talked about all sports before my co-host got lazy and didn't want to talk about anything besides football. So I was like, oh, we're going to rebrand it then. So. The 2 Minute Drill finale is up right now. It's really just me, my brother, and the homie Lotto. You can follow him at Shy Lottery on Twitter and Instagram. Like, you know, if something came up up here, so he's only really at the beginning, at the end of the podcast. We break down the Super Bowl. We break down the COVID season in general. We break down we actually have a full sports GOAT conversation, which I think is kind of hard to have because, you know, with team sports, like I said, I might lose my Chicago card for this, but team sports, I think, is Brady. But, you know, when you bring in the fact that, like, Serena's numbers are crazy, Tiger's numbers are crazy, but Serena and Tiger also ain't getting sacked every goddamn week. So it's kind of hard to compare the two, but we have a nice conversation on that. We talk about potential of Carson Wentz coming to the Bears. So check that out right now, episode 24 of 2 Minute Drill. I actually think it's episode 23. I think Pierce numbered it wrong, but I'm going to double check. Yeah. But that's available right now. But you are here listening to this podcast because of basketball. We are here, and we're going to kick it off like we kick it off every week with our weekly observations. And I'm going to give the floor to my esteemed co-host, Dante. I'm going to let you go first with your week observations.
I appreciate that, G. My first weekly observation is that Mark Cuban is full of shit. Like, he tries to play this whole ally role while still keeping his connection to the whole Barstool crowd. And that's just a bunch of bullshit.
One foot with the niggas. Like, 1 foot with the MAGAs.
Exactly, bro. It's like, you can't sit here and talk all this shit about how you want it. Because I read an article today was how he's a flawed rebel. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like that's bullshit, bro. Like, you got to pick a side at some point. And when the people you rocking with are clearly don't vibe with all of these things you're trying to do, you can't sit on the sidelines with a fucking Barstool hoodie on and talking about, yeah, I'm sitting here fighting for equality. When we know everything they do when it comes to just all around being shitty people. From what we see and what other, you know, journalists and people who have worked with Barstool have said about them, we see the way that the head of the, what's his name, Dave, whatever the fuck, how he always, like, tries to get his stands on people.
There's really only one Barstool nigga I fuck with. I fuck with Big Cat. I fuck with Big Cat.
That's it. Yeah. I really don't fuck with none of the other ones, black or white. Like, it's just the way
it broke my heart when Deion went over there.
Oh, that was tough. Like,
Deion could have come over here. I ain't got no money for Deion, but he got enough money. He don't need the money. Just come over here. Yeah,
they had to cut him a crazy bag for that. But just the whole rocking with Barstool. And even, you know, we talked about the whole Wall Street bots and all of that. He was in that group talking to them like, you guys are going to do it. It's like, bro, you work with the hedge fund people. Like, get the fuck out of here. Why are you sitting here gassing these people up when you on the other side making money? So I think he's just really full of shit. You know, the answers he gave about the national anthem, that was really his opportunity to, you know, stand on it and be like, listen, my players, we spoke about this, we not doing it. Like, fuck that shit. But he didn't do that. He backed down real quick and he said, you know what, we just gonna play it. So, like, it's just more performative bullshit. And we talked about that when they had the Black Lives Matter on the court and everything like that. It's like, the words aren't enough. At some point you have to start doing it. And if you say you're gonna do it, stand on it.
Yeah.
And they don't do that. And that was my first observation. And my second one was we finally to that 25 game mark.
Okay. And, you know,
after a week of seeing Melo in the starting lineup and really doing this thing.
Are you ready to apologize to Stephen Curry? I'm gonna let you continue, but are you ready to apologize?
For what? What am I apologizing for?
He's hooping his ass off. They're in the playoffs right now.
He is. They got like a long season left.
It's long season left. Unless he get hurt, I don't see. If you look at the teams in the West, I don't think any of them niggas gonna get there.
I don't know because they talking about and the Warriors might shake it up.
By the way, they saying they have the easiest schedule left out of anybody. The Warriors have the easiest schedule left in the NBA.
Well, I'll save that apology for the end of the season. If they make the playoffs, I'm gonna say, I'll give it up. Even though I never dissed the nigga, but
if that happens, hey man, I'm just protective of.
I'm gonna give him his props.
My light skinned brother. So.
Yeah, but shit, now you got a new one in the fold because Melo is.
Oh, you already know I'm standing for Melo.
Everything.
By the way, I'm calling that nigga LaMelo. There's only one Melo. Okay.
Yeah, that is kind of disrespectful.
And he's still in his three to the dome. I can't fuck with that.
Yeah,
okay?
You gotta relax, Melo.
You can't take the nickname and the celebration.
But nah, bro, he's really showing because you know we talked about how all of the rookies they didn't have a training camp, they didn't have summer league, but with Melo, that professional experience is really showing because he's adjusted to the game a lot faster than the other rookies. And now that he's in a starting spot, you see him really start to take control of that team and really, you know, saying play bigger than a rookie. Like, he's not playing like a rookie right now. So, like, right now, he's my shoe-in for Rookie of the Year. He's averaging 23 points, 6 assists, and 5 rebounds over his last 5 games. Like we said, he just was put in the starting lineup due to injuries, but now I think he's going to stick. And, like, I'm looking really excited to see what the Hornets do the rest of the year.
So those are all yours?
Those are my two for this week.
Okay. All right, so I've got three of them. First of all, I think that Anthony Davis is more injured than he's letting on, that the Lakers are letting on. I think it's something with the Achilles. Let me get the exact name.
It was a strain or something, but I'm sure it's
Anthony Davis. First of all, this nigga's always injured, but let's see. Anthony Davis injury. You look up Anthony Davis. Okay, his cause he's with an Achilles injury. Anything that has anything to do with Achilles, I get nervous about. You know what I'm saying? Any type of thing that might be with the Achilles. It says they're not too concerned about concerned with it, but they say he has a right Achilles tendonitis. It's not tendonitis. It's tendinosis. Tendinosis. That's what it says. It's not tendonitis. Tendinosis. That's what it says. Yeah, weird shit. But anything that has something to do with Achilles, I get worried about. And also, just the way he's been playing in the games he's been playing. He's been playing ass. And at times, he hasn't really looked like Anthony Davis. And I think that's why LeBron has had to shoulder a lot of the load. LeBron's out here logging tip-type numbers, 41 minutes a game. These niggas
went
to three overtimes with lottery teams. And it's kind of crazy to me how LeBron's become a jumpsuiter in year 18. Like, before it's like, nigga, what the fuck you doing? Now I'm like, oh, that's water. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's why I think LeBron is in the MVP debate, with him and Joel Embiid. I think that's like a 2-man race at the moment. But yeah, I'm worried about that. I'm worried about that, especially for a guy who gets as injured as Anthony Davis. It's not like something that you know can't be reactivated. We hope it's not reactivated. You never want anything to happen to somebody's Achilles. It's a blessing that Kevin Durant is playing as well as he is right now, but that's not the usual. Most people have had their career ended by Achilles. And Kobe Bryant is an example right there. So I think that's something to pay attention to. I hope the Lakers are very, very cautious with him. If you're the Lakers, as long as you have like a top 3 seed, I don't really think it matters. I mean, home court advantage doesn't really matter right now. And I do think later on in the season, we'll have more fans. As you see, the Knicks and the Nets are already saying they're going to have with a 10% capacity. I think by playoff time, which is late this year, playoffs aren't till like damn near Memorial Day weekend this year. I think that most, if not all, teams will be at least 25% capacity. I think what we saw from the Super Bowl this week and what we're slowly starting to see with the NBA is going to start to be the norm. So if I were them, I would not play Anthony Davis until he's ready. You know what I'm saying? Be very, very cautious with that. You do not want to fuck with that. You saw what the Warriors did, pushing Kevin Durant a little bit. Even KD kind of pushed. Sometimes you got to save superstars from themselves. And I think, you know, that little nagging injury that everybody was like, oh, it's just a lower leg injury for KD, and that ended up being Achilles. So I think the Lakers need to be really, really protective because without Anthony Davis, Lakers ain't repeating. I mean, that's just –
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you don't get more. LeBron could go out there average as much as you want, but I think that's really what it is right there. My next one is I think Jeremy Grant, his betting of himself has paid off. To the fact where I feel like he actually should be getting paid a little bit more. He's out there right there. He's averaging 24 points per game this year. You know what I'm saying? I think the Pistons are one of the teams that's doing tanking right. Like where they're entertaining team, they're almost in every team, every game, every day. You know, and they're still losing games. But Jeremy Grant, look at this, 24 points, 5.5 rebounds a game. You know, he's out here shooting, it was like, let me see how many, what the percentage is he's shooting from the field. He is shooting 46% from the field, having a career year. That's a guy I wanted on the Bulls. Of course, I knew that AK wasn't going to spend that much money off the rip with Jeremy Grant, you know, trying to getting ready to really just kind of see, you know, what we had. And he's making $60 million off 3 years. So I got to give a salute to Jeremy Grant. And here for my third, weekly observation, I've been waiting for this, or really how I was going to see about this watching this Bulls season. And I'm here to say it. I think Zach LaVine is a franchise guy.
Yeah.
I think Zach LaVine is a franchise guy. And I understand that, you know, there's some people out there who don't agree with me. I've seen a couple of nerds out here saying he's the new Monte Ellis. Get the fuck out of here. You know, I've watched Monte Ellis his entire career. Monte was good, but he ain't Zach. You know what I'm saying? Like, Zach's out here averaging 28.2 points, 5.3 assists, and 5.3 rebounds. He's shooting like 42% from the three-point line. Last night, I think it was kind of funny. I didn't even know that Kobe White and Zach LaVine were the first teammates in NBA history to each score 8 three-pointers each. I could have sworn that Steph and Klay did that at least one time.
Yeah, it sounded like something that they would have did, but yeah, they were the first to do it.
Yeah, he's shooting 51% from the field. I think he's a top five scorer right now. I think he should be an all-star. I don't know if he will be because he's not going to be voted in as a starter. And by the way, I still to this day think all-star voting for fans is stupid. I get it because the game is for the fans. But and coaches might not pick him because of where the Bulls are. But I do say this. If they don't pick him because of the Bulls are, they better not put Bradley fucking Beal on this team. At least Zach has his team in contention and only a game out of the eighth spot as we speak right now. Of course, we'll get into the Bulls of the team later. I got some more takes on that. But I do think that Zach LaVine is a franchise guy. I think you can build around him. And I think that AK knows that he can build around. There's been a lot of, you know, people speculation the Bulls should trade Zach LaVine. I think it's stupid because if you look at the Jimmy Butler trade, which I didn't like 4 years ago, the fact that Zach has become this player, to me, that makes it worth it. Now, of course, I think Jimmy Butler is a better overall player. I think Jimmy Butler is a better defender. Jimmy Butler is a better leader. I think when it comes offensively, it's not even remotely close. But just for you to get a player like Zach, if you're going to be out here drafting players that you hope can score as easily as Zach, he's 25 years old. It should be trade Zach. The conversation now should be extend Zach. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I think Zach LaVine is a superstar in the making. I think it's the guy that the Bulls need to build around. And I'm officially sold on it, man. So those are my weekly observations. We'll get more into the Bulls of the team when we get into our Bulls corner later in the show. I want to kick off now about this Kevin Durant COVID situation. I think this happened like towards the end of last week. I forgot who they playing. Do you remember who they're playing? I forgot who they're playing.
Fuck. Damn. I just blanked on that shit as soon as you said it.
But he couldn't start the... Did not start the game because he was around people. I guess it was like COVID protocol, safety and protocol. I guess he was around some people who had it or something like that. So they didn't let him play the game. And usually when they say it's because of COVID precautions, I guess they're still waiting for the test to come in. So then they let him play. They let him play in the second quarter. I think he played like a quarter and a half. And it took him out mid-third quarter, and he's been out for a week. Here's a problem I have with this. If he was really unsafe, why did you bring him back in a basketball game? And if there was a reason to take him out, he should have never been fucking in. Because then if he's even suspected of having it, he shouldn't be around other motherfuckers. What sense does that make? So I feel like the NBA in general, of course, we speak about Adam Silver, and Adam Silver become more and more like Roger Goodell every day, especially with wanting to include a dunk contest, which is like, okay, yeah, let's just bring more niggas to Atlanta. Right. This is just fucking stupid. And a dunk contest without a crowd is like, this anything we don't want to see without a crowd, it's a fucking dunk contest. Nobody wants to see that shit. So I feel like they're getting too loose with these protocols. And I feel like there needs to be more stricter ways to enforce this. There needs to be more clarity on it for what the players can and can't do. And it feels like they're just running around like, you know, a chicken with his head cut off, man. I don't understand what they're doing with this. And KD was upset about it. You know, he even tweeted with "Free Me," which I thought was pretty fucking funny. But they need to clear this shit up, man, because this is really becoming like a pain in the ass, and it's confusing. You can see Kyrie was upset about it. Harden was upset about it. Steve Nash, by pulling their guy in and out of the lineup, and now he's been out for a whole week, and he's missing three games.
Yeah, it's bullshit, and like these protocols have to be tightened up, and it's like, I'm with you. It's kind of like with Justin Turner. It's like, you let somebody play, and then you pull them. It's like, well, they were just around everybody else on the court, everybody on the bench, with no mask on. So if he was a threat, you should have taken – I'd rather you be, you know, precautionary as opposed to being reactive. You know what I'm saying? Don't wait until some shit happens. Like, oh, damn, all right, we got to pull him. Like, they said that he was a staffer had tested positive for COVID, and KD was seen around him with no mask on. And so as a result of that, that's why they, you know, enacted the protocol and everything. But my whole thing is, you saw that tape before the game started, before they tipped off. What was the point of having him sit on the bench and saying, all right, you can go out there, and then stopping it? I'm with you. He should have never been allowed to play in that game. And then that way you minimize the damage. You have, bro, you know, possibly missed just that game, and that's it. But and now here he is a week, and you're talking about a team that, you know, just being real, it's in the best interest of the league for this team to succeed, because you have three superstars on this team. So this is a marquee, high-value team. So to do shit like this is just silly. So, I mean, like you said, it's really showing more and more that Adam Silver, all of that goodwill that they built up with fans or whatever, is going right out the window. And you see it's about the dollars. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. I just feel like, first of all, I'm glad on this front that everybody can stop the woke commissionership and just understand that all these commissioners answer to the owners. There's no players league in any sport, not in the NFL, not in the MLB, not in the NHL. Now y'all can finally see this, not like that in the NBA. I felt for so long, he's the players commissioner. He cares about social justice. Nigga, we ain't seen a Black Lives Matter logo on the fucking court since fucking, what, August, nigga? Like, I don't want to hear about that shit. Well, Black Lives don't matter in February, nigga, and Black History Month.
Right.
Like, so it's like, I'm just, yeah, it's bullshit. It's all bullshit. I'm just glad it's coming to surface where we can see about that. But they got to get this COVID shit under control, man. They really got to get this shit under control, because it doesn't make any sense. And if you're KD, if you're the Nets, you want your franchise guy in that lineup so your big three can get a little bit of chemistry. Because I don't think, have they even played like five games in a row together yet? I don't even think they've not done they that yet. You know, either somebody out with COVID, somebody hurt, Kyrie out here doing his one outburst or something. So they need to get a little bit of chemistry, man. Let's move on to the Utah Jazz, a team that we've shit on this podcast week after week after week, even though they've been on our weekly power rankings. They are now 20-5, the best record in the NBA. Now, only a game over the Los Angeles Lakers, who are 20-6. They are, what, 10-3 in their last 13? They're not. I'm looking at the wrong one. Streak. NBA got to get better with their little algorithms. They've won 5 in a row, but they are. Yeah, they are. They're 9-1 in their last 10. 9-1 in the last 10, they won 5 in a row. They just had a big victory the other day against the Boston Celtics. Donovan Mitchell's out here doing his thing. Rudy Gobert is hooping. I think this is what I'll say about the Jazz. I think it's one of those things where my opinion hasn't budged too much in the grand scheme of things. And when you're saying, are they a contender? By contender, what do you mean? Are you saying they're a contender in the West? Can they push the team like the Lakers or the Clippers, who I feel are the only contenders in the Western Conference, and one of the three actual contenders for the championship? Could they push them 6-game series? Maybe 7? I mean, I guess maybe. I think they're a good regular season team. I think this is a team that we're going to have to pay attention to the regular season. This is a team that if you're – Lakers or Clippers, you really don't want to see them. But I do say this. I think where their record is trying to get the number one record in the Western Conference will probably hurt the Lakers and Clippers. They get the number one record, I mean, it's 9 out of 10 Lakers and Clippers going to face in the second round. And if you're the Lakers and Clippers, you don't want to see each other that damn early in the fucking season. And then have to go on the road to Utah, which already has fans. And I'm pretty sure they're going to have more fans by the time the Western Conference Finals pop off. So from that aspect, I think it's important. I'm not picking them to win the Western Conference. I'm not going to do all of that. But I do think that they're a threat. I think they can be what Denver was last year. Donovan Mitchell is, you know, he's always kind of reminded me of D-Wade. He's really taking it up to the next level. I think he's averaging like 25 points per game. Rudy Gobert, for as much shit as I give him, that's because, you know, I just don't want to pay niggas who just play defense, but that's just something that I'm always stand on. But he's been a defensive anchor for them. You know, Bogdanovich has been hooping. Mike Conley's still not back in the lineup yet. So they got a lot of things going for them. You know, well, Quinn Snyder, that's my man's right now. The coach, that's his name? I got it right.
Yeah.
Quinn Snyder, yeah.
He yeah, like you got Batman. That right. You got that right.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be fucking names up on this show.
Well, he bro, quiet like, as kept, that nigga's a former McDonald's All-American.
Wow, did not know that.
Did not. That's like when I found out Spo hooped. I'm like, okay, you know,
it makes did sense. Not know that.
Don't have to look, but I guess you got the skill.
That's he looks like a Batman villain. He looks like somebody who's planning up with the Riddler to get this nigga. But and we also found out the Utah Jazz owner's 42.
Yeah, these hedge fund dudes, bro, they really taking over, bro.
Bro, these Bobby Axelrod ass niggas.
Yep, they all dress like him too. Fucking button down, unbuttoned with some jeans on, maybe with a jeans vest
and a fucking fleece, nigga.
Maybe a bubble vest with a right. hat, you know, some shit like that.
Looking like a predator. You know what I'm saying? Well, them niggas got mad fucking money. So I thought that was interesting. But they're a fun team. They're a team that I feel like has to be reckoned with. When they do have a unique home field advantage just because it's hard to play in Utah with the altitude and everything like that. And they're forced to be reckoned with, man. You can't sneeze at 20-5. You can't sneeze at going 9-1 in your last 10, especially with everything going on with COVID and stuff like that. It's something interesting to pay attention to, man, but I don't know if I'm ready to say, oh, they can win the Western Conference yet. But I do think they're a team to be reckoned with.
Yeah, no, I agree. They remind me, honestly, a lot of Denver Nuggets last year. Like,
yeah.
They're going to be a hot team during the regular season. They're going to be a tough out. But it's just a matter of do they have enough? Because right now, you know, your second scorer is, what, Jordan Clarkson? So, yeah. You know, it's just a matter of when it comes down to the playoffs, are they going to have enough firepower to beat these teams? And so... I'm with you, G. I don't want to just dismiss them because I think that's disrespectful because they are playing extremely well. Donovan Mitchell has taken that step that, you know, Shaq was talking about. When Shaq was fucking with him, it seems like he has taken that step. And, you know, Rudy Gobert, he's shown his worth, you know. Like, it's proven that, you know, it's not all about the points. You know, he's their defensive anchor, and they've been just dominating teams. That's really the thing. Like, even the game, the last game they played, they were losing to Boston. And they let Boston come back, but then they closed it out. And, you know, it just shows, like, the type of team that they have and the ability they have. And so, for me, like you said, I don't think they'll beat the Clippers. They won't beat the Lakers. But I think they'll definitely be an interesting team and a tough team to play come playoff time.
Yeah. I do think Shaq was corny for that shit. Like, and Shaq was real. This is the thing about Shaq. That's what I'm saying about Shaq, man. Shaq, Charles Barkley, and all them niggas do not watch basketball. And I guess it's cool to an extent, but sometimes part of me feel like the shtick has kind of ran its course. You know what I'm saying? Now they don't even, they're not, they're still funny, but they come off as the old niggas who just don't give a fuck about the game. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think Kenny's like that. I think Kenny still watches the game, cares about the game. I don't really think Kenny be hating on the younger generation, but they bring him down by default. And yeah. I think it's very obvious on the Tuesday show when you have my man Adam Lefko, Candace Parker, and D-Wade. D-Wade has gotten much better at this because he was cringeworthy last year. You know what I'm saying? He had a good suit the other day, too, which is rare because I don't like none of D-Wade's fits. I don't know what's up with that nigga fingernails. But anyway, that nigga be looking like he need Gabby to let him out the house, bro. Like,
bro, I mean, he be taking some risks with the fashion, G. He got to
come in that household, bro. He need to call LeBron up, be around the guys or something. But, but Shaq was up there like, oh, well, you know, I said this is why I said it. Nigga, don't take credit for his play, nigga. He ain't played that much different from when you said that corny shit 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And then when they did the top guards, listen, he said he'd rather have Russell Westbrook over fucking Donovan Mitchell. And Candace Parker was like, right now, though, not lifetime, right? He said, when I think about all time, when I think about this, I'm thinking about right now, I'm thinking about all time. Like, you just shitty because she just calls you out. There's no way Russell Westbrook is better than Donovan Mitchell in 2021.
Yeah.
He's just not. So that type of thing got to go away from me, man. And they literally, you could tell them niggas just come and watch the games that be on when they're at the, you know, the facility at Turner, they don't watch Hoops, man. And it's slightly annoying from the view perspective because the jokes aren't as funny anymore. And they come on there and they disrespect all these young guys. And I think that shit got to stop.
Yeah, and like, you know, I was talking to somebody on Twitter about this, and like it's disappointing because these are icons in the game. And so like when you look at them, I want some type of analysis from them. That's why I like when Kenny goes to the board and, you know, breaks down different plays and things like that. But a lot of times, like you said, it's just two old heads who were great, like you can't deny that, who they pretty much just tell the game from their perspective and what they think it should be and not what's actually going on right now today. And like that's annoying. I think that's why you have so many fans who turn to podcasts and things like that to get their information, because it's like the people that we want to get the information from aren't giving it to us.
It's the old guard in general. The old guard in general need to understand this is the new era. You know what I'm saying? Where we don't have to have, and we said this on this podcast before, I've said this on summer sessions before, we don't have to have journalism degrees. You know what I'm saying? Today, I just wrote my, you know, a couple days ago, I just wrote my first article, which I haven't written since college. I'm doing a little freelance writing, so check that out. It's going to be out like next week on the Super Bowl. And I think they're mad that we didn't have to go through the same road as they did. We didn't have to cover minor league baseball in shitball Idaho. And we can just fire up our computers, get our microphones, and just start talking. And I have League Pass too, nigga. I've got MLB.tv. I've got Sunday Ticket. I'm watching the same thing you are. And they're mad that, you know, we have this perspective and we're getting a lot of love. So they need to, and this is, we're trying to kick the old guard out. There's rooms for everybody. Shout out to all the old heads who are showing love to our generation. But you just need to accept this is how it is right now.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like a lot of people are having a problem with.
I agree. It's a lot of, you know, elitist mentalities in journalism where they feel like, well, I went to J school. Like you said, I went and covered high school volleyball or whatever. I earned my stripes. And the reality is with technology, we just don't have to do all that shit.
Yeah.
And the part of the reason we don't get the respect is not because we're wrong, because it's been plenty of times you can listen to our podcast and then a couple days later you go listen to somebody's national podcast and they saying the same shit we said last week.
Yeah,
but because we don't have ESPN on our banner, we don't get that same. We don't have. They don't give
the same thing.
The same credibility.
Stephen A. took and a take like line. Buddy who,
they always, bro. It's once a week. It never fails. But it's
I
just
said
like
on 2 minute drill that if Patrick Mahomes didn't win the Super Bowl, he's out of the GOAT conversation because he already lost Tom Brady. What these niggas say on Monday morning? The same shit that
first
I said.
They said. And that's the thing. We all be saying the same shit, bro. And it's like. Like when bro who broke the news about Carson Wentz, every time he would say something, people were like, where's your source?
Who I'm glad this? You brought that up. Like,
it's like the man is working, trying to, you know, you break, that's how you get your credibility, breaking stories, breaking stories that are actually factual, you know what I'm saying? But if every time you try to break a story, motherfuckers are saying, oh, well, who are you? Then you're never going to be able to build that credibility. So that's a problem. And that's been one of my things. That you know, really just like I'm on my freelance wave because I was trying to write for different places. I wrote for Bleacher Report, a couple other sites, and it's like they have these editors who are kind of like Chuck and like Shaq who don't watch sports and they want to tell you what to write, and it's like you don't even fucking watch it. How you gonna tell me what to do? So it makes crazy.
Definitely, man. I just want everybody to understand it's a new era, and especially companies like us at the Barber's Chair. We're going to continue to push the envelope. You're going to have to fucking deal with us eventually. And I'm not like all these other niggas who are ready to play games with you niggas. Y'all don't fuck with the wrong one. I'm not here to play games with you niggas. Either get down or you lay down. Either fuck with us or you're just going to have no choice but to fuck with us eventually. And that's just really what it is. You can have, you know, my brother and Pierce won't say this, say the things that I do. I will say it. I don't give a shit. So be very clear about that. But let's go to our next topic, man. I want to talk about the Boston Celtics, who actually lost to the Utah Jazz on Tuesday. Their team right now, they're sitting at the fourth seed right now in the Eastern Conference. They're only a game over Toronto and Indiana. Shit, they're almost shit. They're only, what, 2.5 over the Bulls. For the fourth seed, like 4 through 10 is really just a very close game right now in the Eastern Conference. Unless you're Philly, Milwaukee, or Brooklyn, who I think is going to be the top three, there's a battle for 4 through 8. And they're 12-11 right now. And I feel like they're at a point, like, where do they go from here? like, to me, it's a two-man show. It's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and nobody else. We talked about last week when Damian was on here about Kemba stinking to join up. I don't know. And remember, we used to always clown Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, hey, man, this nigga knew what let Kemba walk. We was like, what the fuck is he doing? And he's got a new, fun, exciting young team in Charlotte. We already know about LaMelo, what he's doing. You know, they've got a nice little core over there. You said the Gordon Hayward signing was going to be good. Gordon Hayward's been playing ball.
Open.
And we was like, why would he let Kemba walk? Well, we see him right now why he let Kemba walk. And so I don't know where they go from. I thought the Tristan Thompson signing was going to be much better than it was. I thought he was the missing piece because they didn't have a center last year. And I feel like that was something that was going to take them to the top. But they're just there. They're just there, and there's nothing around them. And it's just – remember that? Remember they was like, oh, Danny Ainge got all these picks. They're in the driver's seat. They're going to be good for years. Nothing has happened. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals 3 years ago. And LeBron's last year in Cleveland – got the game seven, and it hasn't been anything since. They had Kyrie Irving. Let Kyrie walk. Where do you go? Like, where does Danny Ainge go from here is what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, because Boston, you in, because like we always talk about, one of the worst place to be in sports is in the middle. But I will argue, like, the second worst place is being that three or four seed where you're exciting, you think you're going to beat them, but in reality, it's just not going to happen. Kind of like when the Bulls were always the one or two seed, and we're like, all right, bet, this side here. But we knew when we got to the playoff, we just didn't have enough.
Yeah.
And, like, I think those picks, when you, like you said, they haven't leveraged them the way they wanted to, the way they thought they were going to. When we look back, you know, what was like 3 or 4 years ago when they had 12 or 13 picks just in the stash, those haven't turned into anybody. Like, you know, they didn't use them to get Anthony Davis. You know what I'm saying? I think they didn't want to give up Jaylen Brown, which turned out to be a good thing because Jaylen Brown is definitely going to be a star in this league. I think he's one of those guys who – I remember when he was drafted at three, everybody was like, why was he taken so high? And, you know, you've seen every year he's put a new piece to his game, and you're starting to see him really play well. But and I agree with you on the Tristan Thompson. I really thought, you know, bringing Thompson in was going to shore up their big man, the center spot, and that just hasn't happened. So – even when we say, oh, well, you got to make a move, what exactly do they do that can bring them to compete with Brooklyn or with, you know, Milwaukee? What is the move? Or Philly? Because, you know, Philly's been playing well. What move would even bring them back into that conversation? Because right now, as far as I'm concerned, from the East, the only real contenders are Brooklyn and Philadelphia. That's it.
Yeah, in my opinion.
Even though the Bucks are the Bucks.
I'm not even
paying attention to Milwaukee. I like Philly this year over the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm not paying
attention. I like Philly this year over the Bucks.
Yeah. I feel like Philly, yes. I'm taking Philly serious a little bit. My problem with Philly is still this. It's the same problem I have with Milwaukee. Even though I feel like Embiid is more aggressive than Giannis, and I feel like he can be more dominant late in games more than Giannis. But it's the problem they've always had. In the fourth quarter of playoff games, you need a nigga who can go out there and get you buckets. Time and time again, we see that's the issue. You know, as great as Anthony Davis is, he's awesome. Who gets buckets for the Lakers? LeBron James. The Nets have three niggas who can get them buckets. The Clippers have two niggas who can get them buckets. The Bucks, what we see in the Bucks game last night against Phoenix? Devin Booker said the best quote I ever heard. He said, oh, when we saw Giannis take that last shot, we knew we was in good shape. Nobody's scared of that nigga shooting. So are you really – Embiid can't – you know, they're going to guard Embiid differently in the fourth quarter in the playoffs. I feel like their best shot was 2019 when they had Jimmy Butler, a dude out there who can get you a bucket. So that's my biggest issue with Philadelphia. You know who I feel like would be perfect for Philly? Perfect Philly, even though I don't know what they would give up to get him. Bradley Beal would be perfect for Philly. Would be perfect. It would be no perfect fit for Philly more than Bradley Beal. Because Ben Simmons ain't got no moves, and they're going to guard Embiid differently in the fourth quarter playoff games. It just is what it is. I like Seth Curry. Seth Curry can get you threes. He's having an incredible season right now. Him and his brother are shooting lights the fuck out. But he ain't no guy who's just going to get you a bucket. You know what I'm saying? In the fourth quarter of a close playoff game, that's just not going to happen. So that's my biggest issue with them. The Bucks are wasting all our time. Let's just be 100%. I don't know what the fuck Giannis be doing in his free time, but he ain't working on his moves. It's crazy that fucking, Zion's, 21 years old and he got more moves than this nigga. Yeah. So Giannis went from being one of my favorite players to I can't stand watching this nigga hoop. He is not improved whatsoever. And that's going to be a problem. You can't rely on Chris Middleton at the end of the game to get you buckets. So the funny thing is the problem that Philly and Milwaukee have is not a problem that Boston has. Boston has two niggas who can get you buckets. They just don't have the rest of the intangibles or the rest of the team that the Bucks and the Sixers have, which is fucking hilarious. That's why I think that I don't give a damn how what defense the Nets play. I think they're going to win these. I'm not going to say on cruise control. I do think a series against Milwaukee, a series against Philly will probably be a six-game series at the minimum. But them niggas can score. So it don't matter how many points they give. They got three niggas out there who can get you a bucket at any time. And you can play all hard defense, but can you stop them is the question. They might give up 120 a night. They're going to score 135. So that, to me, is the biggest issue for them, man. But Boston, I don't know where Danny Ainge goes from him, but he has to find out a way to build a better team around them because it's just two niggas in scrubs out of it. They have a chance. I won't say scrub because Marcus Smart in a scrub. And I won't even say Tristan Thompson in a scrub. They're not guys who can win you a championship. That's what the expectation is in Boston right now, win a championship. They're not just trying to be a good regular season team. They've been that for years. You have to win a championship. And, you know, Toronto's getting better. You see these teams like, you know, Charlotte and the Knicks and the Bulls who are fighting for those last spots. They're only 2.5 games over the Bulls. So they got to get their shit together, man. Let's see our next topic is on here. Let's talk about our guy, Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose was traded back to the New York Knicks this week. He had a great debut the other night against the Miami Heat. 14 points, looked really, really good. He was out there. You know, he had some good passes. I feel like he's been really working good with the young guys. I would have liked to see him at the end of that game. I feel like maybe they'd have had the chance to beat Miami in the game. D. Rose came in there. He had 14 points. My issue is this. I really, really wanted to see Poole on a contender. I don't see what him being on the Knicks does for anybody. I mean, for them, yeah, it kind of helps them in their playoff race. But if you're him, what does that help? What does that serve? You know what I'm saying? I wanted to see him with the Lakers or the Clippers, specifically the Clippers. The Clippers need a point guard. But as you saw on his Instagram post, he seems happy about it. He says he was eager about it. He wanted to go back and, you know, right the wrongs. And he feel like wasn't in a great situation when he was in New York the first time. And he said he wants to be a mentor to the young guys. He already gave his number out to Obi Toppin and, you know, Emmanuel Quickly and, you know, guys like that. And he's already had dinner with him. And he's been like a real veteran presence in that locker room. But that's a Derrick Rose stand. Derrick Rose, we were in Chicago. We love D. Rose. I just wanted to see him on a contender. That's really what I was kind of upset about.
No, I agree, bro. I know they said the Brooklyn was looking at him. The Nets were looking at him, which I thought was interesting. But I was with you. I feel like at this point in his career, you see the respect he gets from his peers. So
yeah.
I was expecting a contender to, you know, reach out and grab, bro. So I was disappointed that didn't happen. But as long as he's happy with everything he's been through, I think it's good to see him back happy and really enjoying the game of basketball. So I think that'll definitely be a good thing for those young dudes out there. And, you know, Tibbs is loyal, man. Shout out to Tibbs. You know?
Shout out, just like Jimmy Butler said, Jimmy was laughing like, oh, Tibbs trying to get the gang back together. And they brought back Taj Gibson.
Yep. So that's dope. So, you know, that connection especially, you know, that's good to see. But like I said, at the end of the day, as long as bro happy, back hooping, you know, I'm happy for him.
Yes, sir. Let's talk about the beloved. Of course, the Bulls Corner. The Bulls Corner is sponsored by Harold's Chicken. I was going to say that Harold's on 103rd, but my man Lero says it's not the same anymore. So we're just going to say it's sponsored by Harold's Chicken. We're going to talk about the beloved right now. The Chicago Bulls are sitting at 10-14. They are only a game behind the Atlanta Falcons for the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Zach LaVine, we gave his numbers early in the show. He's balling. Kobe White finally had a good game last night after sticking to join up the last couple games. Lauri Markkanen out for 2 to 4 weeks. Wendell Carter Jr., out for 3 to 6 weeks. I think the book is closed on these niggas. More specifically, Wendell, because I feel like when Lauri has played, he's actually been solid. But the question is, when Lauri plays? Like, since he's been drafted, he's injured every fucking year. And I think the question we had coming to season, we said that I think both our prediction when they was going to win like what 30, 35 games. I think that was like our initial prediction and be in the race for the play-in game for that AFC. And right now they're on path for that. They're on path. They're only a game out. The Knicks and the Hawks are not running away with shit. So I expect them to be in that battle till the last week of the season. But I think we've reached the point where we say 25 games, where they are 24 games right now. They play, of course, this drops on Friday, so they play the Clippers tonight, which I think is going to be a game that I really want to pay attention to. They almost beat the Clippers in L.A. The Clippers will not have Paul George for, like, the third game in a row. He's dealing with a toe issue. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if they can win that. But Zach LaVine's incredible. Kobe White, this is how I feel about the entire team. There's only two niggas on this team I'm willing to keep, and that's Zach LaVine and that's Pat Williams.
Yep.
Kobe can go. I like Kobe. I feel like Kobe in his best, his most effective way is him coming off the bench and just being a pure scorer. I feel like that's the best situation for him. But the rest of these niggas got to go. Send Thad to a contender. You know, a team like the Nets could really use him. You know what I'm saying? A team like Boston could use a Thaddeus Young. Send him off there. Daniel Gafford is a good backup, you know, nothing more, nothing less. Wendell Carter and Laurie, they got to go. You're not going to pay Laurie at the end of the season any damn way. Just injury-wise, you're not going to pay him. You might as well get something for him now. Wendell Carter Jr., you can't have a center who's 6'6". Those niggas got to go. We came into the season trying to figure out who can stay on this team, and I think it's very clear that while last year I still think the main issue was coaching, this is just not a good roster. It's not a good roster. You can see how badly Garpax put this team together. And I think it's time to put the trash out. As far as Lonzo Ball, there's been rumors about a Lonzo Ball trade. I would love to see Lonzo with the Bulls. I think the number one thing the Bulls need is a point guard to help Zach get easier buckets, to help the rest of the team get buckets. But if you're the Pelicans, are you really in a rush to trade that nigga? He's really, really playing well over the last couple games. And are you taking Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen? I'm not.
Yeah, I don't think that I think Laurie would definitely be a part of any deal. But if I'm the Bulls, as far as Zoe, I would probably wait until the offseason because he's a restricted free agent. And then, I don't think, depending on what they offer him, I doubt New Orleans matches the Sheet unless they lowball him or some shit like that. But I think you got more leeway, more leverage there. And I think right now, you really need to just keep playing, you know what I'm saying? Try to build up the trade value of some of these guys because, I mean, we know what we got with Zach. P. Will is showing you flashes. Kobe's showing flashes, but I mean, he's a combo guard. We need a point guard. And I don't know if, you know, you want to take a guy that you drafted seventh and tell him your career path is you're going to be Lou Will. Just come off the bench, you know? And so he, like I said, he just may not fit with what the new regime has planned for this team. So I'm with you. I think everybody can go outside of P. Will and Zach. I think this year is probably showing people more that, yo, Zach LaVine is legit because it's not like he's just taking a lot of shots to get buckets on a bad team. He's doing it at an extremely efficient clip. And I think that's important to mention when you talk about Zach because everybody's first thing to say is, oh, well, look at the Bulls record. Oh, well, he's the only one that can score, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, nah, bro, he's a real hooper. He's really out here getting buckets, you know what I'm saying, efficiently as possible. Like you said, shooting 42% from the three. And you know what I'm saying? He, with the dunking, he's evolved from past being just a dunker. Right. Like people used to always just talk about Zach as a just dunker. Dunks. Zach is a score. Yeah, he's a scorer, flat out. That's what he is. And so that's our core, Zach and P. Will. And you build from there and you go from there. Like I love the fact that they're sitting there fighting. If the season ended today, they would be in the playoff, which is what I really want to see. That was our goal for the season, really just them making the play-in game. So if they're able to do that, I consider that a success. And I think people around the league will see that. And like as you start making these moves, you can start to get some better talent in there.
Yeah. And Zach LaVine also is ESPN from ESPN Stats Info. Zach LaVine is the first Bulls player to score 120 points in a three-game span since Michael Jordan in 1997, which is crazy stat. He's also second all-time in most 40-point games in Bulls history. Michael Jordan at 72. Zach LaVine has 4. So it's kind of crazy D. Rose didn't have that many, of course, but I think Zach is a better scorer than D. Rose was. But I think it's really going to be kind of interesting to see what direction that AK decides to go around the trade deadline. Is he going to add more pieces to the team to try to actually make a run at the playoffs, or is he going to start selling assets? Everybody keeps bringing the trade thing. I just do not believe he's going to trade Zach LaVine. I don't see any world and where he trades Zach LaVine. If this was Garpax, of course, I'd be nervous. But I think AK knows what he has on his hands, and I just don't see him going anywhere. And if you're a Bulls fan, like I said, Chicago sports fans got a weird obsession with rebuilding that I just will never fucking understand. So that I don't get. But I think the Bulls, they're in an interesting spot. They're in an interesting spot right now, and I'm really interested to see what's going to happen around the trade deadline. Let's get into our weekly power rankings. We're going to get it started first. The Utah Jazz, they keep their spot. I think they're like, this is the third week in a row that they're number one on my power rankings. They're 5-0. They're on a five-game win streak right now. The Utah Jazz are just taking out all comers, man. I just really think from a regular season perspective, you know, they're a team that you got to deal with. At number two, I've got the 76ers. The 76ers, since we last recorded, are 2-0. Again, you know, big win against the Sixers, and they won the Kings last week, on a Tuesday. And just their last couple games in general, I think they're like, let me see right here. Since the 29th, they only lost like one game. So I have to put them in an Embiid. I feel as the lead candidate for the MVP with LeBron, very close second. I got to put them there. Number three, I'm going to put the Lakers. The Lakers have won six in a row. Their last three, they went to three straight overtime games against lottery teams. So it's not that impressive, but you can't sneeze at six in a row. And they're only a game behind the best record in the entire league. Like I said, LeBron has become a jump shooter. LeBron played great defense on the last play last night against Lou Dort and the Thunder. They're doing all this without Anthony Davis. So I got to put them in number three. Number four, a new entry. There's two teams who are not on my weekly power rankings this week, and that's the Brooklyn Nets and the Los Angeles Clippers are not on my top five this week. I'm going to put the Miami Heat. Now that they're getting a little bit healthier, they got Jimmy Butler back. They got Tyler Herro's back. It's not just all on Bam Adebayo's shoulders right now. If you look at their last couple games, over the last week, they are 3-0. You know, with a win, two wins over the Knicks, one over the Heat. And I feel like they're finally slowly getting back to the team that we know them to, man. And Jimmy's back, and, you know, they're really starting to get back into position of trying to be an Eastern contender. So I'm going to put them there. My 15 that I'll put on there. My dumbass did this in back order. I should have did it the other way. But anyway, Phoenix Suns, I'm putting at number five. I really like that Chris Paul, Devin Booker backcourt. It's kind of funny. I hated Chris Paul his whole career, but like the last 2 years, I like really like respect.
You saw the light.
I never said he couldn't hoop.
Yeah.
You understand? The niggas who I don't like has nothing to do with their skill on the court. I don't like LeBron. I have not had a complaint about his game in over a decade.
Yeah.
I've never had a complaint about Chris Paul's game. I always knew he could hoop. I just thought he was a bitch. So I just had nothing to do with that. But I just really like what he's been doing with the young guys and the second stop here. And I think that needs to be acknowledged. Over the last week, they are 4-0. And I had a battle about whether I was going to put them here or Milwaukee, because Milwaukee kind of has the same record over the last week. But they beat Milwaukee last night. So that kind of takes them over the edge for me. Devin Booker's a beast. What's my man? What's the DeAndre Ayton? Chris Paul is the best thing to happen to Aiden. They're a solid team, and they're quietly fourth seed in the Western Conference. And I feel like they need to be respected. I feel like more people need to be talking about them, and they're five on my power rankings for this week.
Yeah, that's what's up. Phoenix is really the only new entry on my list. I got them at five. I got Philadelphia at four. I got the Clippers at three. They still just, you know, coasting under the radar. I got the Lakers at two, and I got the Jazz at one right now. I mean, we both gave our opinion on them as far as winning the championship, but I think right now they are without doubt the best team in the league.
Yeah. This is my thing about, you know, a game I'm looking forward to next week. Hot Take Central. Nets, Lakers next week on TNT.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be overreaction no matter who wins.
Oh, yeah.
No matter who wins, there's going to be overreaction. I hope Anthony Davis can play next week. KD should be back from his COVID break on Friday, which is today. That's my game to watch for next week. I think we need to start adding that to our rundown, games to watch. That's my game to watch next week. Nets, and Lakers. I don't know if that game is in Los Angeles or not. I mean, it doesn't really fucking matter, but you know, crowd wise. Yeah. So now time for our weekly goofy blog of the week. I am going to give mine to all you haters out there who were doubting my boy Zion Williamson last year. Last year, he's fat. He's slow. He got to get in the gym. He can't do this. He can't do that. Y'all do understand. I was kept saying, I'm the only one on the podcast saying he's just a big nigga. He's just one of them niggas who just big. They're not ever not going to be big. He can use that to an advantage. You understand? This is a guy who it was his first, you know, first year playing basketball in almost a year because he missed so much time from his injury. And he was on a team. He missed a lot of time due to injury. And it was a COVID-shortened season. Now you look at this kid right now. He's averaging 23 points per game, 7 rebounds a game. And he's out here hooping ball to the point where he has, I think he leads the league in paint points. He has to be reckoned. He's only 21 years old. He's looking like the number one draft pick. And I need y'all to put some respect on my man's name. Y'all need to stop with y'all little bullshit takes. That's one thing I hate about NBA Twitter. It's not about the game or the basketball. It's all about narratives. Everybody wants to kill somebody's career. Every game has something to do with legacy. Let the boy hoop, man. And so that's what I'm going to give to all y'all doubting Zion Williamson. Y'all my goofy mug of the week.
Yeah, no, I feel you. My goofy mug of the week goes to the person I brought up in my weekly observations, Mark Cuban. You got to pick a side, dog. You can't sit here and pretend to be an ally and then you still over here still kicking it with the MAGA crowd. Like, I understand, you know, that's a part of your base because a lot of people forget this. When Trump first announced he was running for president, Mark Cuban wanted to be his vice president.
Yes, so like I remember that. Yeah.
None of this is new, bro. So he really got to pick a side.
So that's where we're going with, man. As usual, we appreciate y'all for taking y'all time and listen to this podcast, man. We will be back next week to break down another week in the NBA. As usual, you know, you can follow us. You can follow me on Twitter at BarbChairScott. Of course, I keep saying my Instagram is on private now. Tune in to Summer Sessions OT. This is a Friday, so it's up right now. It's up right now. You can go listen to it right now. You can subscribe, patreon.com/barbershairnetwork to find out that and much more shit. You can follow Dante on Twitter at OctoberZonte. You can follow the Barbers Chair Network on Twitter and Instagram at BarbersChairNet. And we're going to holler at y'all niggas next week, man. Y'all stay up. Y'all have a good weekend. Y'all continue to stay safe. Wear your goddamn mask, and we out.